I first wanted to thank Pastor John and Jason for this opportunity, and everybody else. Me being up here is a product of your prayers. I know that you guys have been praying for me, Melanie, and Jay during this time, so I'm deeply thankful for all you have done for our family, just so that I can be up here sharing with you guys. And I'm excited I get to share with you what your prayers have done in my life here. So I want to start with how I got here at this point. So growing up, I was blessed to be in a family where the gospel was always around me. I got to go to church. I had a youth group. I had the gospel literally all around me during my life. So the promises of God were there. But what kind of summarizes my life up till about 2 years ago was the story of the prodigal son, where I really can relate with the older and the younger brother in that story. So growing up, I was always with the Father, like I was saying. I always had the gospel around me. But my affections and my heart were not for a relationship with Christ, but for a relationship with this girl that I was very interested in high school. So during that time, leading into college even, my life was about pursuing her and pursuing a relationship with her, because my longing for a relationship I thought would be satisfied in her, that if I could just be with her, I'd be content and happy. And so leading into college, I followed her wherever she was going. So as she went kind of a wayward path, I followed her there so that I could eventually be with her. And that's where I ended up. We started dating my sophomore year, and I kept straying further and further from the Lord. And as I did that, I began to have a younger brother type of mentality, where before I was just using God. He was very useful for me to get these things that I wanted. So as I obeyed him, I felt like he would then give me this relationship with her. But now that she was wandering from the faith, I now realized I had to keep following her or follow God. And so I chose her to keep seeking her. And as we started dating, I realized she wasn't satisfying, that I wasn't content. I wasn't any more happy than what I was without her. And so it was really hard to come to terms with this. And so I just decided I needed to pour everything into this relationship to get what I've been seeking. So I poured all my time, my thoughts, my money into being with her. And I just found it wasn't satisfying me. So this is where the grace of God and the beauty of his pursuit of me started, where she broke up with me the end of my junior year, and God, through this ministry campus outreach, began pursuing me. And he brought along a guy named Quentin, who I had met through a friend at the University of Indiana, Purdue University, Indianapolis, which is called IUPUI, on campus. He just started hanging out with me once a week. He would listen to me. He would speak truth to me, and he was just my friend. We would go play golf. We would go to the store. Just different things. He was there with me, which was huge, because I was very heartbroken. I just remember just keeping asking God, like, please give her back to me. Please give her back to me. But what he really helped show me was that I was essentially worshiping this girl, that she was an idol in my life, because of the fact that all my affections and everything that I longed for was directed and ending with her. And what he showed me was that you can't just remove an idol from your life. It has to be replaced with a greater affection. And I never found or thought of Jesus or God as a greater affection in that way. And so that was the first time God really showed me that he isn't just useful, that he's beautiful. And so through that, Quentin started showing me how to walk with Jesus, not just to use him, but to see more and more of him, to fall more and more in love with a relationship with him. And not only that, he showed me how to start sharing my faith, sharing this joy that I've found in Christ on campus, and how to go and do what he was doing with me to other people on campus. So through that, after my senior year, God started growing up a passion for this, sharing my faith on campus. I got a job at a company in Indianapolis, and so I got the opportunity to work part-time with campus outreach while I was working. But I felt at that time that as God had opened this door for this work, I felt like he wanted me to continue doing that as he had kind of provided it. So I stopped halfway through the year working with Campus Outreach to pursue work. But what I found was he was still growing a burning and a desire to want to lead men and shepherd and just feed a body. And so based on that, I pursued my pastor down in Indianapolis to do an internship with him to kind of start figuring out what is this burning, what is this calling that he seems to be drawing me in for. And through that, he helped me see that I do and am growing a desire for pastoral ministry and church planning, which is my long-term vision. But what he said, a very good, practical, and hands-on way of beginning to grow in this and discern this call is this ministry of campus outreach. And so through a lot of prayer and seeking counsel, I left my job about a month ago to start pursuing this route of eventually pastoral church planning, but for now, this campus outreach program, which will help develop me along the way. So I want to tell you a little bit about campus outreach and how this is going to be huge in developing a lot of these pastoral roles and helpful in just learning what it is to lead men and to shepherd men. So campus outreach, our mission is building laborers on the campus for the lost world. That's what we hold to, and that is kind of the vision behind everything we do. So just a little bit about how God has used me during the time on the campus when I was a part of it, and how he's kind of affirmed that he does want to use me through this. So this picture up in the right, the top left corner, the guy closest to me, his name is Quentin. He's the one that led me, and this was our intramural team my senior year. And because of what he was doing and just being my friend, the guy to the right of me, the shorter guy, his name's Mike, I was able to start leading him during that year. And as Quentin was showing me how to share my faith and how to walk, I was able to start walking with this guy as well. And he, as he began growing and we built our friendship, the picture down to the right, the three guys next to him, he's been able to share this year and help lead them along their walk as he's been walking with the Lord as well. So just seeing that God is multiplying and moving this idea of mentoring and just leading other men. And also through this ministry, I was able to lead my best friend Gabe to Christ that year. And he is now in Indianapolis still pursuing school and seeking a relationship with God, which is just awesome to see his life before, through high school and through middle school and through beginning of college, and how it's been transformed, and that he loves Jesus and that he's seeking to walk with him. And then also with my brother Jay, I was able, after God had been changing my heart, I was joyfully able to start leading him to some of these conferences that Campus Outreach was doing, and through that, he's now walking with the Lord and at campus at St. Francis, sharing his faith with people down there, and now he's in Orlando leading other men. So it's just awesome to see that God is using people that have surrendered their lives and have died to themselves to spread a passion for this love of Christ. So like I said, these are the three main points of campus outreach: building laborers on the campus for the lost world. So the idea of building laborers, we really pull from Matthew 9:36, just about the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we pray to God to raise up laborers. And the reason we want laborers is because they're going out and they are not just on campus, not just pastors, but in the business field, doctors, in the classroom, that these are the people that are spreading this joy and this passion of what Christ has done, the good news of Jesus, wherever there are. And so we really feel like building these laborers is important, and equipping them to go out and do this is a vision for us. And we feel like the campus is very critical during this time because, first of all, there's so many people on campus. In the past decade, it's doubled the amount of students that are on campus. And so it's a growing population of people. But also, these are people that are leaving high school. They're coming on their own, and they're super teachable and moldable. Their minds are open to anything. So if we can reach them at this beginning stage of their life and spread the gospel, share the gospel, show this passion that Christ created us to be in a relationship with him. And as we equip them during this time, then it's going to be huge for the rest of their lives of having this vision that they're going to be creating during this time in college. And these are going to be the leaders in the workplace. They're going to be the doctors, like I said, the teachers that are going to be influencing other people. So it's even more critical to have a vision developed during this time in college. And also it's people's fresh start in life. It's one of the few times in life where you're beginning. And so it's a huge, huge time to be on campus. And we really believe we want to reach the lost world through this. There's 6,649 unreached people groups, approximately 3,000 languages without a Bible. And so we really want to trust God to use this ministry to grow a vision for students to go and reach the lost world, whether it's through our culture in the business world or going overseas somewhere. We want to affect the world by the love that Christ has given to us and through the good news of Jesus. So just a quick story. This girl named Samantha, she grew up in Gary, Indiana, in the rougher parts of Gary. And she got to go to IUPUI for school. And through that, a girl named Ashley, who was on campus outreach staff, invited her on her intramural volleyball team. And through that, they just built a relationship. And as they just became friends and started walking together, she led her to Jesus and showed her how to walk with Jesus and how to share her faith. And so she started growing a vision for wanting to do this. And she was also able to go on a mission trip with Campus Outreach to South Africa, where we have a campus there as well for summer. And so down there, she really grew a desire for that. And now that she's graduated, she's going to become a missionary in South Africa to share the gospel of Jesus with the students down there. So it's just amazing that God does grow a vision during this time for people to go all over the world and to reach people everywhere. So Campus Outreach is global. We were founded in 1978. There's 65 campuses, around 300 plus staff, 22 regions around the world with Brazil, Australia, New Zealand, China, South Africa, a couple more missing. But we are looking to go global with campuses in these different areas with the same vision of wanting to build laborers and sending them out. And we do have a vision that we want to keep spreading in the United States as well to different regions and different areas so that we can begin continuing to spread the gospel through the campus all over the world. Some of the things that make Campus Outreach distinct from other places or other college ministries is kind of our strategy is really to normally target smaller campuses or smaller communities. So with our region, which is Indianapolis, there's about five campuses. So Indiana State University, University of Southern Indiana, Purdue, IU, IUPUI, and then St. Francis, that there's smaller communities in there. And so we really want to feel like we can spread easier as there's more of a unity on the campus that as the students go out, there's going to be easier reach of all the other students in those areas. So that kind of makes us distinct as we really try to focus more on those campuses to spread. But also, we're not a parachurch. We operate through a local church. So when we go to a new region, the regional director will seek out a church in one of these different regions that will adopt us as their ministry. And so through that, we can invite people to become part of the church. We can, as we're developing them in their walk with Jesus, we can really push, you know, be part of the local church, be part of this body with us so that we can grow together and we can fulfill God's mission through the local church as he finds it precious and he wants to use it. So we really feel like the local church is a big factor in spreading the gospel as well. And that goes with our growth strategies. We want to go by regions. So with the Indianapolis region, a guy named David Burns came from the southern parts of the states, and he was seeking out a church that would want to adopt us. So he came to Indianapolis, and there was a church called Christ Community Carmel, which the pastor heard about Campus Outreach and was really excited about the vision and asked Campus Outreach to come to that church. And so through that, IEPUI started, and as that grew and more people caught a vision that were students, they went to the other campuses in those regions, and now they're leading those different schools, and they're all part of this region. So the church in Indianapolis is overseeing and kind of helping guide and shepherd the different campuses in that way. So that's kind of what makes us distinct. And so our strategy is the main part of what we do. And so our strategy is first the idea of multiplication. So when I go on campus, I could go try to reach as many people with the gospel as I can by just meeting, sharing the gospel, going to the next person, meeting, sharing the gospel. Or I could multiply my life, which means I could really heavily invest in sharing with four or five guys and help develop them as they grow in their walk and as they grow a vision, and then send them out to go reach three or four guys and then have those people go out as well. And so this idea of multiplication, you reach so many more people because everyone is multiplying this vision of reaching the campus, which is how Jesus did it. He reached many, but he invested heavily in the 12 disciples, and they reached the world. So just really pulling on that model of reaching people. And so for me, as I'll be on campus, the first thing I'll be doing is heavily evangelizing the beginning. So as the freshmen come in for welcome week, I'm going to be just building relationships, asking them to be on flag football teams, three-on-three tournaments, just things to be a part of their lives and be there with them, and to walk into the good works that God is preparing, but also to share the gospel with them and express how my life has changed and how being in college, there's so many things that were unsatisfying, but I was seeking them, but then Jesus was satisfying. And as we reach them as their freshman year, as they're moldable, they'll start catching a vision and relating and seeing, oh, okay. And then as they start coming to Jesus and they're being established in their faith, I'm really trusting God for those four or five guys that I can start heavily investing in and being, okay, let's meet once a week and let's be in a group of people that have a vision for wanting to go out on a mission to reach our campus and have a vision for it so that we can share the gospel and make our own disciples and go and lead other men on the campus. And so we equip them with different ways of how to go deeper. And one of those is the Orlando Project, where Mel and Jay and me have been able to go. Is it's a whole summer for them to be able to learn how to deeply read God's word, how to find Christ in the word, but also how to go evangelize at their workplace and how to live in a community of encouraging each other and being part of a body. So it's a huge summer for people that have just come to Christ to learn all that is involved in being a part of a body. And then lastly, we really want to export them. So as they're growing a vision for wanting to make disciples, help them as they're in their specific fields, how do I then share my faith in the workplace? Like, how do I connect the dots? So really helping them think for growing a vision for the workplace and wherever they're going to be going after, so that they continue this model of wanting to multiply their lives wherever they're going. So now, specifically at IEPUI, God is doing amazing things. There's weekly evangelistic meetings of 200-plus students. There's about 60 core students right now that are committed to wanting to multiply their lives on campus and being a part of this vision for living out their lives on campus. And 40 students a year are coming to Christ through this ministry, which is amazing how much God wants to use young people that are committed to dying to themselves so that God can use them to further his kingdom on the campus. And then we also have 10 students a summer that are able to go on these overseas projects or trips so that they can start growing a vision for overseas as well. So God's just doing so much, just not through our campus, but all the other five campuses in our region, that God is doing the same thing and wanting to spread his passion for his son through these different campuses. So that kind of leads me to where I am now. God has been awesome in just opening doors and moving me along and through your prayers and through everything that God has done. So this summer I am raising support and What I really need is, as you guys have been praying for me, to continue praying for me, because it's gotten me where I am. And God has been so faithful through your prayers and your faithfulness in praying, my goal is to be on campus at the beginning of August to get that group of freshmen that are coming in and really start evangelizing. I'm currently at 58% so far. So I'm so thankful for you guys, and I'm thankful that you're going to continue praying for me in this way. And so that's kind of the place where I am right now as I'm heading into the school year and growing a vision for this as well. But Pastor John asked me to just give some perspective real quick on just this idea of sacrificial giving and of dying to ourselves in this way as a church and as people that are sending other people out. And so what I wanted to do is just really quick go to Philippians and give three opportunities Paul gives of sacrificial giving. So three opportunities of sacrificial giving. I'll read it here real quick. Philippians 4:17 through 20. It says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God, which will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." There are three awesome opportunities that Paul presents here for people that are giving sacrificially. And the three opportunities are the opportunity of sharing others' worship, the opportunity to please God, and the opportunity to see God meet our needs. So in verse 17, it says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." This is an amazing promise that we get to share in the worship of people that are coming to Christ, that God delights not just in the person that is just a recent convert, but all the prayers and sighs and tears that have been given and prayed for this person are going up to God as well, so that he sees everything that has happened to bring this person to himself. And so we get to be a part of that as we're praying and as we're giving our time to asking God to raise up people, that he smells all the prayers and it's a sweet aroma to him. So we get to be a part of that worship with them as a body of people seeking for his kingdom to continue growing. And so through that, our affections for Christ are increased because we know he's using us for his glory through other people as well. We get the opportunity to share in others' worship. Also, we get the opportunity to please God. In verse 18, it says, "The gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." So we get the opportunity to please God in our sacrificial giving. And it says, God delights in seeing the work he's done in us. That when he sees a people that came from being self-seeking, self-consumed people, transformed through his son into people that are giving of themselves, he's delighted to see what his son has done in these people. And so we get to be that picture. We get to be that sent to God of what his son has done on this earth by giving of ourselves and submitting and surrendering our lives to furthering the glory of Jesus. And our worship will increase because we get to see how Jesus has transformed our lives, which is what we're here for. We're here for this worship of seeing what Christ has done. And then third, we get the opportunity to see God meet our needs. Again, God is delighted to meet the needs of a people that have willingly placed themselves in a place of need. So people that have sacrificed and given of themselves and saying to God, like, "I need you, and I'm living my life like I need you." And so God is delighted that he gets to meet our needs through his son, because it's all about his delight in his son. And as he sees a people that need his son, he is delighted to meet their needs in that way. And through that as well, we get to worship and we get to enjoy Jesus through seeing him meet our needs as we are living for him. So just the three opportunities. I feel like it's an awesome chapter as I've been going through the season of seeking support and seeking seeking God in this, that he really is delighted in what is happening in people giving of themselves and going out and living, dying to themselves and living their life for him. So this time, that's all I have. I have questions, any questions for anybody to answer? It's kind of open at this point.
Yeah. Not so much about the ministry. Questions about that too, but one of the things that you had indicated was a significant part of your life was this relationship with the young lady. As you look back on that now, probably with much more discernment, what would you say were some of the signals or indicators that were leading you down this path that now you know you shouldn't have gone down?
Well, I remember distinctly as we began the relationship, and like there was a conviction of seeing the life and the pattern that I knew she was walking down, and knowing as I grew up with the promises and the truth of the gospel that it didn't match up. And so I remember thinking in my mind, I'm choosing God or her right now. And I didn't say that, but I knew that in my mind, and the defections of my heart were for her. And so that's where I went, because I believe she would satisfy my longings. And so knowing that what captures my heart is going to be pulling me in, and that the truth of God and his word and his commandments are what are beautiful now. And so as they're beginning to grow in my affections for him, that it's what is the most beautiful in your life that you're going to be pursuing. So.
Question. You had mentioned that there was a church in Carmel that was beginning to get involved in this ministry. Are you seeking, as you're working the lives of these students, to get them connected to that church or a local church? Or is it just, we just are in a bubble here at the college campus?
So it's actually an awesome story. When IPY, their campus ministry, started about 6 or 7 years ago, so it was in Carmel, which is kind of about 45 minutes away from downtown Indy, where this campus is. So the body of believers, and as the staff members really wanted to get them involved, it was a really long trip. So they actually started a church plant from Christ Community Carmel called Christ Community Midtown, which began with the majority of the college students that were coming to Christ and wanted to impact the city and be a part of a body. And so it's a lot of the kind of elders, a couple elders and some families came and started that church plant. And so that church grew from a lot of the students that were part of that body. And now there's about 300 members, and a lot of the families are college students that were part of that church about 3 or 4 years ago and that have kids and now is growing because of that and wanting to actually now start different church plants as well. So that's kind of what we try to push them towards, is be part of a body, but go through the local church, be a part of Christ's body and serving him that way. So, and one of the things I forgot to mention, as we go to different regions and as we seek churches that are that we're wanting to be a part of, we usually stay under two umbrellas. So we usually look for churches that are evangelical, but also churches that are Reformed. So we can really go deep in Reformed teaching as we're equipping these students, that we that all of the campuses are under those two umbrellas, and so we hold to that. So we won't go to a church if it's not with that similar vision. So all the campuses are united with that vision of evangelical and Reformed, and so we can do a very depthy equipping of how to walk with Jesus in the sovereignty of God and in these truths that really do help deepen their relationship with Jesus.
Do you plan to continue this after you graduate out of college, or you're out of college?
Yeah, I am out. And so I was out for a year, and I worked. So I was able to do part-time, but God continued growing that desire. And so for me, the long-term goal is, after 2 years of doing this, I'm going to reevaluate, but I'm going to be doing seminary because I want to continue, as I learn these principles of walking and leading men and shepherding them, how to kind of go more deep and start applying it to truths, and as I get tools of seminary, then transition into church planting and pastoring from there. So that's the long-term goal. Yeah.
You know, you hear of all these, I'll say, scary statistics of young people who've grown up in Christian homes and in good churches who, when they hit the college years, abandon their faith in Christ again in the church. In fact, that's why we just had our CTA last weekend to encourage kids of that age not to go down that path. But when you are ministering to the kids who come into the school, are you finding that most of them who you impact are kids who come with no background in church? Or are you also rescuing those who have abandoned their faith and now are coming back? Is there a...
I think a large portion of it are people that don't have much of a background, but also, like, my life is an example of one that isn't, and I know multiple people that have. So a lot of it is just we walk how God has prepared the works for us to walk into, and so it's a lot of how God has been working in their hearts to prepare them, and we just walk into it sharing the gospel with people, and as they grow and they become interested, we continue helping them walk along and leading them to what's going on. But I think a larger portion is people that don't have much of a background and they're just seeking things out. But there it is usually between one of those two.
You mentioned how in August you want to be there to meet the freshmen, start getting involved, build in their lives. And you mentioned that it's mainly through, like, intramural sports and sports things. Like, do you go in, like, you know, in a sense, advertising, here is a Bible club to be a part of for those who are seeking, or more, no, we're just more interpersonal relationships through sport things, or do you use them both?
So there's kind of like a flow of how it goes where during that freshman welcome week, I'm just there building relationships and meeting as many people as I can, like just being there so people are familiar with me and telling them, you know, I'm here for like a spiritual, spiritual resource and sharing the gospel. But also just a lot of interpersonal at the beginning. But then as there's interest and as we have the intramural team and as I grow, continue sharing the gospel to people like on my team, from that develops Bible studies of people that are interested. So I'll invite people that I've met through different intramurals and be like, would you be interested in a Bible study? And so as that group kind of forms and God starts growing in the hearts of people, we'll start the Bible study and investigating what does it mean or what does Jesus claim in the Bible? Who is Jesus? And then from there start seeking what God's doing later on. And then that develops into a more depthy group as they've come to Christ in that way. So, yeah.
So the campus you're on has opened their doors, their campus, to campus outreach. So during that week, you are kind of the representative. You're making it known that you're part of campus outreach. You're just reaching into their lives at that point. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so we're an official group. And actually, because IUPUI is like a commuter school, as campus outreach started, they didn't have intramural sports, and so we were just seeking a way to get connected with the students. So we actually kind of started the intramural sports at IUPUI just so that we could get connected with the students. And they loved it, and so now it's like a huge thing. And so we usually have a lot of staff members and students that are involved. And so it's a big resource for us to be able to reach the students that way. And a way to serve our campus as well, just getting students involved. But,
yeah. How would you see reaching people that are not athletically
blind? And that's what's huge is we really look for opportunities to get involved on campus, and so there's different events that do happen that we always try to go to and get involved with. But mainly what we really want to do is reach them through the students that God initially brings to us. So like the four or five guys that are involved in that God has brought through intramurals or whatever, we send them out, and they're connected to so many different people as well. And so we've reached so many people through that way. And I know one guy that I'm good friends with, he knew a lot of people that were into like comic books and things like that. And so there's a whole, like, he has a whole group of men that he's leading and that are part of that. And they go on campus and they do like costume design and things like that that I don't really know much about, but they're a group that are sharing the gospel through that because they've been reached in that way, and they're wanting to go use what God the interests and talents God's given them in that way on campus. So,
yeah. Do you have a method or an opportunity to reach the students that are coming there that are already Christians?
Well, we usually do it pretty interpersonally, and so a lot of it's through that as we meet people. And so we usually, if people are looking for community, we try to instill this vision, and as they're coming, we will point them to the local church, or there's other more community. So like if there's another college camp, I think not Crew, Young Life, I think, is on there as well. So if they're seeking more of like a community, we can point them to that as well. So we're mainly outreach focused, and so we want to be a resource for people that have different interests and are different places in life. So if they are seeking community, we invite them in. If we also provide them a resource, there's also this other campus ministry that you can go to as well if you want to be part of ours. So we're a resource in that way as well as we're meeting people interpersonally. So each staff person has to raise their own support, and like a small percentage of each staff person will go to like our administrative fee, but that's just for a building. But we have, as our organization, we have online literature that we use that is, because we came actually from Campus Crusade, and so a lot of the similar literature as well that we'll use from them as well. So but we're a lot more outreach than bringing in. So, right, well, I would love to pray and just kind of close this. And thank you guys so much for listening. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and for what you have done by sending your Son, Lord, for us, that you have made a way back to yourself and that we get to enjoy Jesus in every day, that you've given us your word, that we can see your character and we can see the beauty of who you are as you have revealed it to us. I just pray for this church, Lord, and for all you're doing, the great things and the faithfulness that you are working through in them. And I'm deeply and eternally grateful for what they have done in my life and the life of my family. I pray that you continue to bless them and just meet their needs and continue to grow them and increase their affections for Jesus. I pray that you work through this ministry, Lord, that you have a desire to use us to further your kingdom and that your name will be known on campus. I pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.